Nice work there from Brian Furzocco. A nice recap of, since last summer, this past summer, when the season ended for the Boston Bruins. Jeremy Swayman and the Bruins with a contentious negotiation here. They do have control of him for one more year if they want to go to arbitration again, or they could take him to that again if they wanted to. But it looks more like it's going to be ending some other way now. Fluto Shinzawa was on with DJ Bean and Pete Blackburn on the What Chaos show, and he said that it's going to be hard to swing a trade. He doesn't think it ends with a trade. I don't know what that means then. If it just ends with Swayman tucking tail and taking the smaller offer. There's also rumors out there now that the Bruins are going to rescind that offer that they've put out there now once the season starts, which would be
Belichickian.
Kind of diabolical, I think, and also a real big power move for a team with no goalies. But by the way, the Bruins also have signed another goalie, or they claimed another goalie, I should say, Jiří Patera, who I don't know anything about. Can you tell me anything about Jiří Patera there, Brian?
He's only played in 8 games so far, 2 games in the 2022-23 season. He played 6 last year, both seasons with Vegas. Not very good, especially last year. He had an .893 save percentage with a .398 goals against average. And if you look at his adjusted goals against average, 4.17.
Average. Well, if you know your
guy's young, he's only 24.
If you know your guy's not going to be there, you need all the bodies you can, right? You need the e-bug. You need, the
goalie Bob
vendor to come out there.
You're not getting quality, but you're getting quantity.
Exactly.
We'll keep giving you guys. Can you turn a couple of them into NHL goalies for the season that can do the job?
Yeah. We've been having a. And
do you think this is tied in?
Legitimately claiming a goalie is tied into this? Yes.
Like directly.
Of course, absolutely.
I mean, he's not an NHL goalie.
So
they play in the NHL.
Yeah. But what do you think they claimed him for?
I don't know. Maybe this is just the guy they've liked forever.
They called up Bussy,
yeah.
Right? Who was their AHL guy.
Who they don't seem to like.
They've called him up to the team now, so it's going to be Korpisalo and him as the two NHL goalies. And they brought in this guy to probably either be Bussy insurance or the new P. Bruins goalie or whatever. And that's sort of your next guy on the bus. I think that's what you got here. You know, Bussy's up here, and then the next guy who's taking that bus back and forth from Providence to Boston.
I knew there were bus jokes coming.
Jiří Patera. I didn't mean it as a pun, but I'm saying. I think
so it's Korpisalo or Bus? Instead of bust.
Oh, right. That's a good one.
I figured I'd take your bad joke and see it and raise you a bad
I didn't
joke.
Mean to even tell a joke there. And you,
you did. You were making bus jokes from Providence.
I meant the bus back from
up
Providence.
95, the Lou Maloney Memorial Highway.
Your joke sucked worse, so get over it. Anyway, the way I'm reading it and hearing it from a lot of people around the Bruins, like Fluto Shinzawa, is that they're pro-Bruins here. They're taking the side of the Bruins. I read Matt Porter today in the Boston Globe, and he was basically saying that that the ask here from Swayman is too much, even at 8.5, that if you want to take it to other examples of guys at this age waiting on a contract, Saros, who's in Nashville, took like 5 years at 6.6, something like that, and how, he's 29 and he just signed the 8-year 7.74 extension. Connor Hellebuck just signed a 7-year 8.5 per year extension, which is 59.5. And then there's Sorokin, who last year signed 8 years, $66 million. That's 8.25 per, and he's the closest in age to Jeremy Swayman. So I look at that as probably the closest modern example right now. You want to go back 3 years with Saros and what it was like back then, I guess you can, but I think with Sorokin, you've got your market right there. Like, this is a guy who came in second in the Vezina. He's never won anything. He was a backup to Varlamov before they made him the starter. He had one good year, and then last year, Swayman was better than him. So, you tell me, like, the market's not like one thing that just stays the same all the time. The market's fluid, and I think at this point, if I'm Swayman, I'm looking at Sorokin and the money he got 8.25. I had a better year than him. What else do we need to say?
I think Swayman looks at it forward thinking. I think he's made that quite clear. Mm-hmm. It's like, whatever that is, I'm adding to it. I'm not looking back multiple years because that was the market then. I'm looking at the market moving, not just now, but moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And he can do that. I think it's aggressive. And you're no doubt that Fluto, there seems to be a divide here, kind of people getting information from the team or
right.
Even the poll idea. Like, there's certain people that are on the team side. Fluto, remember, he had that season preview story where he said this gets solved with a 4-year, $28 million contract.
Right.
I don't think there's any shot in Hades of that being on the table, is there?
No.
Because I actually think now
4 years, 28?
Yeah.
$7 million a year. There's no way.
I actually wonder now if it could be.
He's saying no to 7.75.
Right.
Yeah.
Now I think it would be like, I'll do a 4-year, $36 million deal for $9 million a year, and then I'm going to hit free agency again and really max out when the cap has gone up. I can envision a deal that to me is short on term and short on money.
Yeah.
Like, now I'm just getting shorted.
Yeah, it's true.
And I'm an expert on short. I'll beat you all to it.
All right.
Twitch
chatters. In fairness, you did get there. I'm being told in my ear that our production assistant, Mike, would like to make a point. Mike, who, by the way, if you're watching on Twitch, looks exactly like Tanner Houck, does he not? I think that this kid, and no one agrees with me, I think he looks exactly like Tanner Houck. You guys, look up in the camera there, would you? Tanner Houck, you guys see that out there in Twitch land? Come on.
Now he's out of the screen.
I mean,
now
right? He's back in the screen. Are you kidding me? He looks exactly like him. Anyway, what's on your mind, Mike?
I'll take that as a compliment, Arkin. But Ottinger in Dallas, he signed a bridge deal. I think it was 4 years, $4 million a year. He's got 3 years left on it. Same age as Swayman. They have about the same amount of wins, same playoff wins. The only thing that Swayman has over him is that Jennings that he won with Ullmark when Ullmark won the Vezina that year.
Yeah, he was part of the two in the Jennings that year. That's true. So Ottinger, I mean, that's another name. Sure. I mean, he's a guy that you look at the stats up until that point. Here's the difference is that Swayman, and you can look at Saros when he was with what's his name? Pecorine. And, you know, some of these other guys, Sorokin, when he was behind Varlamov, and some of the other people who were part of a tandem like Swayman was with Ullmark, and say, yeah, you know, at those points. And I don't remember if Saros signed his before Rene retired. I'll ask McLaughlin about this when he gets here, because that matters, too. Like, if you've traded or the other guy's retired and you've sort of broken up the tandem and you're just committing to one guy, that's different. And that's what's happening here with the Bruins. That's different from when you have two guys and you want to maybe keep them both around and or keep the younger guy around because you think the guy's going to retire, but he hasn't yet. Or in the case with the Bruins, you haven't moved on or found a good trade partner to get Ullmark out of here yet. Like, that's all part of this that I think needs to be, when you're discussing these different situations, needs to be accounted for.
So how do you think
Saros, sorry, just quickly, Saros just signed July 1st of this summer.
Right. But when he signed the one in 2021, was Rene still on the team?
I think Rene,
or did he retire?
Let me check.
I forget if he signed right before or right after Rene retired. But I guess it doesn't matter. The point is, you're talking about Saros just signed now at age 29. He's going to be 30 in a couple of months here. You're talking about a 25-year-old who turns 26 in a couple of months in Jeremy Swayman, and I think the age, and not just the age, but I also think people are forgetting how good Swayman was in the playoffs this year, and that left maybe more of an impression on me than it did on NHL front offices across the league. But I remember that, and I think that was enough to push his value up into that realm. Absolutely, I do.
So, but how do you? You just said something to the effect of, you know, whether you're two goalies or this differentiation, like you're going with mm-hmm. a guy, like you mean invest more in him. Like,
yes,
he's your guy.
Because you've moved on from
Ullmark.
He's
your franchise,
yes,
guy, so that requires a certain elevated investment.
Is, yes,
that, yeah, I agree with that.
Yes.
The question is how far the elevator goes up, right? Like, that's the bottom line question. Actually, I don't even think that's the biggest question anymore. I think at some point that was the biggest question. I think now the biggest question is, how do people feel? Like, I think feelings have entered this chat.
Mm-hmm.
This has gotten personal this week, and when things get personal, they can go one of two ways. They can go the Ty Law way, where you can buy their feelings back by just giving them the money they want, putting a deal that they accept on the table. Or some people, I do think there are still people in this world that are like, nope, I'm done. No. We crossed a line here that I didn't want to cross. And I don't know if Swayman has done that. I think his agent feels like he has, but
I think so.
The client is still the one who theoretically calls the shots, right? Like, it's his career.
I think that these are the things that the agent is saying are reflections of Swayman's feelings.
You do. You don't think it's the agent being a hardo.
No, I don't think he's pulling this out of nowhere. And I think that's based on the whole arbitration scenario and that whole thing that happened 2 years ago with Swayman. He took that very personally. He came out and talked about it. He said, I heard things in that hearing that I don't think any player should ever hear. He took that very personally. He's very bothered by that.
Like Burns. That happened to Burns with the Milwaukee, right? Wasn't that part of his story that he got all pissy? One of the Brewers pitchers went to arbitration and got all pissy
Corbin
about
Burns?
Yeah. Wasn't he on the Brewers?
Yeah, I think he was.
I'm pretty sure he soured with that organization.
Sure.
Based on some sort of arbitration or something.
Yeah, and listen, that's the whole point of arbitration.
That's why Theo avoided it.
And poke holes in every single part of your game,
right,
and try and lowball you as much as they can. That's what arbitration is, and I understand that. But I also think that there are some teams that give their guys decent deals. You know, it's not always okay. Let's grind this guy down to the very bottom dollar. Sometimes when it comes to arbitration, if they believe in the player, they'll smooth it over.
Sure.
They'll make him a good offer because they want to keep him happy. The Bruins have never, I don't think at any point in this entire process of Jeremy Swayman being here, have done anything really to make him happy except for trade Linus Ullmark.
Try to trade him first.
They did try to trade him.
Twice.
That's true. But even they weren't able to do that. And trading a guy is fine. But then if you don't end up elevating the guy that you have and paying him at the top of the market or part of the market that he wants, whether you think he deserves it or not, you've committed to him now. You've committed to him by giving away all your leverage and turning to Corpusalo and this new guy, Patera, and Brandon Bussey and those guys. Like, that's where you are, and that's not a good place to be in. They are not in a position of power in any way except for the fact that he's a restricted free agent, and that's it.
No, you definitely have to pay him. Now, the way you phrased it oversimplifies it. Yeah, pay him at the top of the market. Well, why? Is he a top-of-the-market goalie? Like, he is literally a top-of-the-market goalie? There are questions about that. And you, I just...
It's not the very top, but near the top.
Well, and we also don't know. Rich
right.
Keefe still reporting $10 million was an ask.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know most outlets...
Bruins do like to round up, though, don't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. So the 9.5 that everybody else is reporting, you know, maybe it rounded up to 10. So that could be part of it. But I do think that Swayman is asking for the moon a little bit. He's shooting his shot. And I don't, and just because he went to business school doesn't mean he knows business, right? Can we agree on that?
He took some
classes. I got an English.
Well, what if he got really good grades?
I got a degree in English from Tufts and got really good grades, and I'm not sure I know the language very well.
Mm.
Bottom line, okay? So just because you have a degree in something doesn't mean you're a genius at it.
Fine.
He's not a practicing businessman. He's not an agent.
I agree with that.
He has an agent for a reason. If he was so damn smart, wouldn't he represent himself?
Yeah, probably.
Maybe right? They didn't teach that at Maine.
Business.
Like Lamar
they
Jackson.
Just told them how to sell lobsters.
Wow, that seemed like a shot at Maine.
Not at all. I'm just, what are you learning?
All they have in Maine is lobsters?
No, I mean, I don't know if there's a lot
of
NHL.
They also have tractors.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm not taking, I like
flannel shirts, okay?
Nope.
Like, they have a lot
nice
of things.
Wool hats.
Yes.
You should like it. Aren't they like Portland's a like craft beer capital of the world, isn't it?
What am I? I'm a craft beer guy.
I thought you were in with like Keith and them as craft beer peeps.
Not really.
Oh, me either. I knew I liked you.
I like beer. I mean, it's, you know, I'm not going to turn down a craft beer, but I'm not like seeking them out.
You're not like Ross Tucker.
No,
a new
not
craft.
Pay $30 for a 4-pack.
I am not. You know what I like? Yeah, I like those Belgian beers. You know what I'm talking about? Duvel, like Duvel.
No idea.
Those are good. Those like
Stella Artois.
The Belgian, not Stella so much, but like the ones that the monks brew.
You're a Belgian snob.
Those are I like Stella, but like that's not what I'm talking about. Right.
How do you spell it?
Duvel. But there's a bunch of other like Belgian beers that these monks make. My brother put me up on this, and I tried it, and I'm not usually someone who gets impressed by like a sip of beer. I drank it. I was like, this is the best beer I've ever had in my life.
6.6%.
Tell me
alcohol?
More about these monks, what they do, and this beer that they brew. Anyway,
is that the beer Hart owes you if Stevenson fumbles?
Yes, I want a Duvel.
Not if it's expensive.
617-779. I just want one. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. Here's Brian Frazoco to tell you what's trending. We'll get to your phone calls, and Scott McLaughlin, WEEI.com, joins us to talk Bruins and Swayman right after this. Not quite 64, 63 and change, or whatever it was that they actually got to. It's Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons, and joining us in studio right now, the one, the only, Scott McLaughlin, WEEI.com. How you doing, Scott?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good to see you. It's been a while. I feel like you come out of your cave when hockey season starts back up.
I know. We would always have the Sunday morning overlap.
That's right, yes. And, I don't know if the same thing will be, because we got football Sunday. And then you'll be coming in before then? Or no, you don't come on until the football season's over, right?
Yeah, we don't get to talk about hockey until football's over.
That well, that's sense. When Swayman might show up, too.
So. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Right. It'll coincide with that exact thing. Let's go ahead and start with the offseason, because I feel like not just you, but a lot of Bruins beat writers, people around the team, people close to the team, we're all saying, don't worry about this. This isn't a big deal. They'll eventually come together on a day where they're far apart right now, but this is not a very tense situation, and it's being overblown a little bit. And now here we are. It's threat level midnight, and how do we get here?
Well, it wasn't very tense for a lot of the summer because they weren't really doing anything. They weren't talking. Everyone was just kind of enjoying summer vacation. I'm pretty stunned that it's gotten to this point because it made too much sense in the world to get this done. Like, Jeremy Swayman is in a great situation with a team that's always in contention, where he loves his teammates, he loves the city, he wants to be here. Okay, great, he'll figure something out. The Bruins need him. They traded Linus Ullmark away. Of course they're going to sign Swayman. So it always made a ton of sense to get it done. In my mind, the money always I think I said at the end of last season, 8 years, $8 million, something right around that should get it done. And then you get all these reports that they're so far apart and, you know, they might be as much as $3.5 million apart. Bruins are starting in the sixes. Swayman's starting in the nines. And it's like, okay, well, cooler head, common sense could still prevail and you could still meet at that eight at some point. And now that is on the table. Cam Neely put it on the table publicly in a press conference. So we'll see where it goes from here.
Very aggressively put it on the table, right? Like,
yes.
In a way that generally, especially with this team and these guys, they don't do this in public very often.
No, hardly ever.
Right.
In fact, like, they're known around the league for not even leaking stuff in terms of contract negotiations. So, yeah, Don Sweeney would never have done that. Cam Neely is the blunt object, the hammer, who will, you know, if he has something to say, he's going to say it. Like, he's not leaking stuff out. If he wants to get it out there, he's just going to do that and say it in a press conference. But, yeah, it is rare. It's rare for them. It's rare for anyone. No one goes public with numbers while a deal's still being negotiated.
So who started the pissing contest? Because we've had Brian put together a nice sort of back-and-forth timeline. Was it Swayman going on that podcast and him amping it up? Is it the Brew? Like, when did this become seemingly sort of personal and not just numbers anymore?
Well, I think you go back to last year and you go back to the arbitration hearing, which the nature of an arbitration hearing is that it's going to be very uncomfortable for people, especially the player.
Right.
Who, by the way, didn't have to go. You don't have to attend your own arbitration hearing.
But he went to business school.
Right. He wanted to. So he had to have known what he was getting himself into. I'm sure his agent explained it. If he didn't, bad job by the agent. But, you know, like, if you go into that hearing, you know you're going to hear things you don't want to hear. So he knew that. And then he did seem, by all accounts, to take it pretty personally because he brought it up multiple times throughout the season, unprompted, gets asked about going to the All-Star game, and the first thing he mentions is arbitration. Like, this is in February.
Right.
So, clearly, there were really hurt feelings, and I think that only carried over into this summer where, you know, they were starting from a place this summer of, we're still hurt from that whole process last year. So Swayman goes on a podcast and talks about not wanting to ruin the market. That was probably the start of these negotiations kind of leaking out into the public. You know, and then you have the whole rumor game with Spin Chicklets and all that. Sweeney goes after them, and now Neely's coming public with the offer. So, you know, I guess maybe you say Swayman started it this summer, but this really all goes back to last year.
In your opinion, in your professional opinion, do the Bruins believe in Jeremy Swayman? Because you can make the argument that they've shown multiple players over the course of the last 3 years that both on and off the ice that maybe they don't really. Like, maybe they like him. They think he's probably their best goalie. But in terms of believing in him and wanting to give him a solid, you know, Sorokin-type contract, they don't believe in him as that player to take the workload on, to be in the playoffs, and so forth. Would you agree with that?
I think they believe in him. I think what they don't believe is that any goalie's worth $9 or $10 million. And that is a prevailing theme across a lot of NHL front offices who saw Carey Price sign a massive deal and not even get to the end of it, saw Sergei Bobrovsky sign a massive deal, be very inconsistent before, yes, winning a Stanley Cup this year. But even within that run, there was inconsistency, right? Like, as the Oilers are coming back in that final, Bobrovsky's choking.
He did, yeah.
And if they lose that game 7, he's now an all-time choker. Instead, he steps up, they win, and now he's a Stanley Cup champion. But I think those kind of deals have scared teams off from going that high on goalies, and you see it because it's now been a while since anyone's gotten that kind of contract. Igor Shesterkin probably will. But that's the exception to the rule in the NHL right now.
Right, and I think Swayman thinks that he's part of that exception and should be getting paid that way. Maybe not in the $10 million, but you're talking about them being afraid of $10 million. They're offering 6.25. Like, they offered him very, in his mind, and I think in a lot of other people's, a very low starting point and aren't coming up as much as I expected them to.
Well, they've come up a lot. I mean, if they
started at 6.2, yeah, but that's still, you know.
They're at 8 now. So however you got there, you're there now.
Right.
Like, you can say it was
I just don't think it's magnanimous to come up from an insulting offer and be like, wow, we came up so far. It's like, well, yeah, the offer was insulting.
Yeah, but you got to 8. I mean, eventually, where do you want to get to? 9?
Eventually, right. When you had to blurt it out in the middle of a press conference.
Well,
like,
then it was. So, do you believe that to be as we've accepted it, that Cam Neely was rounding up from 7.8 to 8?
That's certainly what it seems like.
Okay.
Yeah. But, again, it's on the table. Like, you can't now go back and be like, oh, actually, our offer's still 7.8. Like, no, the offer's 8 now.
Sure, but he's not taking 8 either, clearly, at this point.
Not yet. They're taking a couple days to reset and decide what they want to do.
So and I don't blame him either, because, you know, at this point, I wouldn't be shocked
you just
if he
need
told
to
him
know.
To go bleep
team,
off.
Swayman,
team Swayman, 100%.
I'm Team Bruins. I think Swayman started this all out. I didn't care for the whole set the market thing. It reminded me of Papelbon. It reminded me of, like, quarterbacks in the NFL, where the next guy is always going to have the biggest deal, whether he's the best or not. And I was like, well, A, this isn't the NFL. B, you're not a quarterback, you're a goalie. Like, there's some differences here. I don't care what they taught you at business school in Maine. So it seems personal. He seems to have an inflated value of himself or view of himself, right? Are those accurate? Can I go with those two?
I think he's very confident. I think he believes he's going to be the best goalie in the NHL.
So is he
going
to be traded?
I don't think so. I don't see how it happens. Like, unless they get absolutely blown away. First off, no team has submit in an offer sheet for him.
Yep.
He's a restricted free agent, but he can talk to other teams. So he can feel around, see if there's any team out there that's going to offer sheet him. No one has. It would be surprising if someone does it now. Like, we're too close to the season.
Mm-hmm. So, only 4 teams can even approach what he wants either, and that's San Jose, Calgary, Anaheim, and Columbus. I've heard keep an eye on Anaheim from various people, but yeah, I think that at this point, and other people, Fluto and other people have pointed this out, you know, camp's over, the season's about to start, and people have their goalies locked in.
Well, and if Jeremy Swayman requests a trade, he does not have any trade protection. Now, in theory, the Bruins could send him anywhere. But obviously you're going to get more if he's actually going to sign there,
right?
Like, you're not just going to trade his rights for a second-round pick and then say, okay, you can go negotiate with him. No, you're only going to trade him if there's a deal worked out and you're getting a massive haul in return. I just don't think that's going to happen at this point. So, to me, like, Swayman's only real option for this year is playing for the Bruins. And whether that ends up being this long-term deal that, all things considered, like, all this bluster of this week aside, based on the reporting, it does actually seem like they're not that far apart, right? Like, if the Bruins are at 8
quarter
now,
of $1 million is what it seems like the holdup is at this point, right?
Bruins are at 8. Frank Saravalli reports 8.5. Elliot Freeman reports Swayman's at high 8s or 9. So it's like they're less than $1 million apart per season. Now, that's not nothing, but they're not $3 to $4 million apart anymore. So if you can put the hurt feelings aside, like, there is a deal there to be made. The question is, can Jeremy Swayman do that, or have the Bruins pushed him to a point where he just wants out and doesn't want to deal with them anymore? And that's what he's going to have to decide, because, you know, if he decides he can't deal with this organization anymore, then now you are in that scenario of looking for, okay, what team is going to pay him like that and is also going to give the Bruins enough in a trade to make that worth their while.
Is there any chance of a shorter term bridge deal or get through it or one year, like anything?
Demko and Saros and those guys, they all sign deals like that.
Yeah, I had thought that would be an option if you can't figure out the longer term deal, but yet all the reporting like from people like Elliot Friedman is both sides are still focused on an 8-year deal.
Right.
So it seems like the years are the one thing that they can agree on. You know, Swayman wants a long-term security. Bruins maybe started at a lesser term, but are now okay going to 8. So I don't think you'd go to a bridge deal at this point because, you know, if you both want 8 years, like, why would you now go shorter?
Right.
And then try to figure out that whole salary and like, it just becomes a mess again.
If I thought I read this maybe in Porter today, can Swayman go play overseas?
I mean, I guess he could.
Like, if he holds out this year, could he do that, or would the Bruins say, no, you can't play anywhere else, you're still our player?
That's a good question. I honestly don't know what the rule is for a restricted free agent.
Okay. Well, with that being said, is Jeremy Swayman a top 5, top 10 goalie in the league? What do you think he is?
Definitely top 10. probably top five. I mean, he finished seventh in Vezina Trophy voting, but that's only because he didn't play as many games as some other guys. I think if he had started 55 games last year and put up the numbers he did, he would have been top five. And then he was the best goalie in the playoffs. So
he's the best player in the playoffs for two rounds.
Yeah.
Jesus.
He was.
No, he was. I'll agree
no,
with
but
that.
He's like,
Schmeich, he was at the top of the list.
It's like it's his kid or his client. He's like, we got to hop in with how great Swayman
well,
is.
Well, it's my take that I'm defending, which, sorry.
Good
sorry,
Lord.
I'm bludgeoning you with it, but that's what it
how
is.
How much are you getting?
I'm not getting anything. I think the Bruins botched this. I do.
So we know for a fact he will not be the opening night goalie. How big a deal is that?
It's not that big of a deal yet. I think it's a big deal if it lingers and you're talking about playing a month without him, going into November without him. It becomes a big deal if the goalies you have struggle, right?
Do like, you think that's going to happen?
Korpisalo has looked good so far in camp and in his preseason games. I kind of think he's going to be fine. I don't think he's going to be great. He's not going to be Swayman or Ullmark. I think he'll be fine. I don't think, you know, I don't think you're going to get a couple weeks into the season and be like, oh my God, Korpisalo's a disaster. But he can't play every game, so you do need a second goalie at some point. And Brandon Bussey looked better Tuesday night, had struggled his first two preseason starts. They just claimed a goalie off waivers.
Patera.
Yuri Patera.
Mm-hmm. I know him well.
From Vancouver. Yeah, but I'm also very familiar with his work.
Love Pantera.
Yeah. I saw the one from Metallica this summer. They were great. No, so now he's going to come in. I guess he's going to compete with Bussey for the backup job. But if Swayman's out long enough, one of those guys is going to have to play at some point. And does that turn into a disaster? Like now do you have to start riding Korpisalo every game, which I think was part of the problem in Ottawa last year, was he had a way heavier workload than he'd ever had before. So it could become a problem pretty quickly, but it's not on opening night. I don't think.
Are they leaning on the idea, because we hear this from fans, that you know they're a better team, better franchise, they're set up better, and goalie Bob Magic Dust puts it on Korpisalo, and like all of a sudden he's this great goalie, and he's better than Ullmark or whatever?
I don't know if they believe that. I think there are fans who believe that.
Yeah.
I don't buy it. You know, I've heard that from so many people that like Korpisalo is just Ullmark before Ullmark got here, and it's like, not true. To dig into the analytics, Ullmark's analytics, the deeper metrics in Buffalo, were pretty good. He was just on a bad team. Mm. Korpisalo's analytics, three of the last 4 years, not good at all.
He was a bad goalie on a bad team.
He had one really, really good year, 22-23, between Columbus and Los Angeles. But the other three of the last four, whether you're talking basic numbers, underlying, advanced, whatever, aren't good. So that is very different than Ullmark.
All right. Before we let you go here, Scott, are the Bruins a playoff team with those two goalies and without Swayman?
Yes, but it's close.
Like a fringe playoff
team.
Yeah.
Like they're in the wild card race. Whereas with Swayman, I think they're a Stanley Cup contender.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Hey now. What are you so surprised? You love the goalie.
Well, no, they weren't a Stanley Cup contender last year, but you like their offseason then.
Outside
of this obvious Swayman debacle, but the rest of the offseason you liked.
Yeah. I think they are now a more playoff-ready team than they were last year. They are going to play a style that I think will fit better in a matchup against the Florida Panthers specifically, but also against other playoff teams. So, but your strength is supposed to be your defense and goaltending. So goaltending needs to be a strength. With Swayman, it is. Without him, I think you're fighting an uphill fight there.
All right. The leverage is on the side of Swayman there. Like, if you're right,
in a sense,
and the Bruins go from borderline playoff team to cup contender, because, like, sign the damn goal.
Well, is that more leverage than Swayman not making money this year? I mean, that's, you know, that's what you're weighing it against.
I don't know,
it's
wasting an
things.
Entire season, a Brad Marchand season, like, whatever. Like, you can't waste a whole season if you're a legit cup contender. And
no.
Scott says they're a cup contender,
but
and I'm holding to it.
The Bruins organization has been just fine with them being a fringe playoff team for about 20 years now. So, I mean, you know, like, one round in the playoffs and, you know, turn off the lights, and they've been okay with that. For the most part, would you regret the Jacobs? You know, they don't seem like they've been pushing for too much more than that.
I don't know. They've won an awful lot of games. They've won they won the most games in the league since Sweeney became GM.
Right.
So,
and they're content with winning a lot of regular season games.
Yeah, they've had some great regular seasons. They have, until the last couple of years, they were pretty consistently at least getting out of the first round.
And they've been aggressive at trade deadlines more than any other team.
That's when Sweeney's at his best, I think, is at the trade deadline.
So, I mean, the 22-23 season, they went over the cap and had all those carryover bonuses that hurt them the next year. Like, you know, they've been as competitive financially as anyone in the leagues.
So. All right. Well, we'll leave it right there then. Scott McLaughlin, great to talk with you. We look forward to your coverage of this Jeremy Swayman situation here and all your Bruins coverage going forward. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
All right. That is Scott McLaughlin, WEEI.com. He covers the Bruins, does some great work. It really strikes me how the Bruins went from having such a great goalie situation to now this, like, in a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
They were the envy of the league in terms of, like, the goalie room.
Patriots-esque, when Belichick bragged, we got the best quarterback room in the league.
Really,
we got the best goalie room in the league. Now we don't have goalies. We're claiming Patera off waivers.
Thing. We got Pantera. Yeah,
anybody remember Ken Patera, the, like, wrestler, world's strongest man guy from, like, the late
80s? Yeah, I remember that guy. Ken Patera.
Is this his son, maybe?
Yeah, maybe it is. Yuri? His son Yuri?
Yeah, from Czech or where the
probably.
Hell he's from.
There you go. All right, quick break. We'll be right back. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to the phones, talk to David in the car. He's got a thought on the Bruins and their playoff chances. Go ahead, David. David. We had a real problem with David in the car not being ready for
these phone
calls.
I feel like he's been good lately, though.
He has been lately, but aren't there two Davids in the car?
Yes.
Aren't there two of them?
I believe
and this maybe is the one who's never ready, and that's unfortunate because I think this is the biggest subplot here. We already know what the consequence for this is with Jeremy Swayman. We know that he'd be missing out on a year of $5-6 million, whatever it is that he'd be making this year, and we understand that. That's very much the unknown consequence is what this is going to do to the Bruins team. We don't know that. We don't know if they're going to be a playoff team. We don't know if they're not. We don't know if they're going to take a massive step backwards. We don't know if goalie Bob is able to work his magic with anybody they bring in here. You know, like you mentioned that. No one thought anything about Ullmark. They turn him into a Vezina winner. Could they do the same thing with a guy like Korpisalo? I lean towards no. And the other thing about it is with, like, when I talk about the situation that they were in and how good it was having these two good goalies, a Vezina winner and this young guy coming up behind them, and what a great situation you were in. Once you decided, we're going to move on from the Vezina winner, right? Like, that's who they moved on from. They moved on from the guy with the hardware. He's older, fine, but, like, they decided they were going to move on from him. And there's been, historically, lots of examples of this. There was Mike Richter and Van Beesbrouck in New York and Osgood and Hasek in Detroit and, all these Belfour and all these other goalie tandems over the years where there was one older guy, one younger guy. The older guy moves on. They commit to the younger guy. They pay him whatever they need to, and that's how they proceed. They did all that, but then are now trying to lowball the young guy. And I just think that that's not the way that this works. Like, historically, it doesn't work like this. You move on from the old guy, the big winner, the Vezina winner, then you have to commit to this young guy, and they're not doing it.
So you keep throwing around low ball. They
yes.
started low ball, just like he started high ball. The weird part is it seems like they've gotten close.
Right.
Right? Like, I guess it depends what you're believing. Is he still up in the nines, or is he 8.5? Because if you believe 8.5 to 8, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Figure it out. And you mentioned it. We always talk about other players and how they view things. If I'm Brad Marchand, if I'm Pasta, if I'm any of those guys, and you're like, wait a minute, if they feel like Scott feels,
right?
And Scott's around the team, so I'm guessing some of it would be shared, the same feeling. Like, they probably feel like if we have Swayman, we're a cup contender. If things go right, if things, and now we're going to be scuffling. And no disrespect to any other goalie, just the reality is, with our goalie, we're a cup contender, and you're going to waste a year of my career?
Yeah,
that's basically what you're doing.
Yeah,
over $500,000. Is that what I heard? Is that what I read? Is that I heard on WEEI during the trending that it's over $500,000 a year? My whole career, you're going to take a year away for $500K?
Yeah, and not just that.
Like, that would piss me off.
You know? Yeah, absolutely, and it should. And I think that's part of the reason why this is, so personal. Like, they're to the point now, and I think that if they really were showing that love to Jeremy Swayman and they believed in him, and I know they've made offers, so it's not like they don't want him.
Right.
But you go all in a commitment like that, you know? You signal that to the player, and you signal that to the fan base and everybody else. This is our guy. We're paying him $8 million, whatever it is that he's ultimately asking for, which I think 8 would have gotten the job done months ago if they had offered that to start with. And instead of starting at 6.25 or whatever embarrassing the offer they made, and I think it just got worse and worse over time. I just don't think that they ever really were able to see eye to eye here. Maybe some of that's on the agent and Cam Neely being a couple of hard heads or whatever, but at some point someone has to be an adult and say, you know, we need this guy, let's give him what he wants and let's get on with our lives.
So what if they feel like, because I keep going back to that Fluto projected contract of 4 years, $28 million. And I'm assuming he didn't pull that just, you know, out of nowhere, out of thin air. So if the Bruins feel like, well, we went from 4 to 8 on term because you seem to indicate term mattered. You wanted the security. And we went from 6 to 8 or 6-something to 8 in money. Doesn't it feel like that's a long way?
Yeah.
If you double, you went from a 4-year deal to an 8-year deal. And you added $2 million a year-ish, right?
Ish.
That, like, they've come up significantly.
Yeah, from a pretty lame offer.
So you didn't come down at all on your years because you wanted 8.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe Rich Keefe, you wanted $80 million.
Well, if you believe Elliot Friedman, they talked about it and they all agreed on 8.
Right. But at some point, it feels like, again, the Bruins were probably talking lower deals too.
Probably.
Whereas Swayman, it feels like, came in looking for 8 years, $10 million a year, knowing that it's high.
And if the Bruins believed in him and were, you know, that would be good news for them. You know, they'd be like, wow, 8 years. All right, let's get this
and
done.
$10 million
let's
a year?
Let's lock this guy, not 10 million, but 8 years.
Okay,
is a good
so we
starting
came
point.
Up to 8.
We agreed. Here we are.
So we came up to 8 for years. We doubled our years. We added $2 million.
But why did they only want 4 in the first place is the question then.
A
bridge deal before they actually have to pay him when he's 30 years old? Like that's
I think there's some reason to question if he's going to be what everybody wants to anoint him. I think that is a fair question to ask.
You can say that about anybody. I mean, you know, before you sign him to a contract.
He's not a known commodity.
Sorokin was second in the Vezina, and then they gave him 8 years, $8.5 million per year, 825 or whatever it was, and they did that based on what they thought he would be going forward.
Right.
You know, that's a gamble that you take.
Projection being
when you believe in the player, you do it.
But it's a projection.
And they don't believe in him.
And if you don't totally believe in it, or if you can just cover your bases for a couple years and figure it out, or wait for the cap, wait for your contract situations. There could be a million reasons why you'd say, oh, I'm willing to do a 4-year deal and then maybe do an 8-year deal after that or whatever, wherever it goes. Because he's 26, so he's probably not going
to
do an 8-year
deal. He's 25 now. He's about to turn 26.
So I guess you could do 4 and 8 if you wanted to. 12 years. It's not crazy.
No.
I mean, it seems like a long time, but
4 years, 30, and then 8 at the end of that? Well, yeah, okay, but
be kind of a long.
Did you sign an 8-year deal at 29? That's not, you know, like, unless you go out for the next couple of years and absolutely kill it.
Right, but I think he's the best goalie in hockey. Like, that's kind of what he's asking to do. He's asking them to believe he's going to go out and kill it. And then you're saying, well, he'd have to go out and kill it to get the next contract. Well, you're kind of asking them, you're presuming you're going to kill it. That's the contract you're asking from them at 8 and $10 million
and
a year.
If they still had Omark here, then I'd understand that from the Bruins' perspective, but they don't. That leverage is gone. Like, they're not, it's not like, well, wait and see. Let's see what this kid actually is. Like, no. We've put all our eggs in the Jeremy Swayman basket. We think he's going to be good, but we don't want to pay him what he wants.
Isn't that an olive branch? Isn't that a negotiation? Like, we believe in you. We're making you our 55-game goalie because that's what the number everybody wants to play, 55 games, right?
Yep.
Isn't there something to be said for. That was a sort of olive branch?
Maybe. You know, like.
You just see nothing positive from the Boston Bruins right now.
Well, just trading the other guy and then lowballing Swayman, I don't think is some big magnanimous thing. No, I don't look at it that way.
I don't even know if 6 and change is really lowballing to start.
I think it is.
I don't think it's any crazier than $10 million. I think they both started at different poles.
Fine, but $10 million is, I'd agree. That's
you don't
pretty
keep
high
saying crazy offers from Swayman.
No, I don't.
Okay, you keep portraying it in a certain light.
But Swayman's requesting something that the team has to give him. I mean, it's a different power dynamic there, obviously.
Right, and they're requesting you take this $6 million knowing you're not going to.
Sure.
Knowing it's a starting
point. The
fact
that they're starting at that point, I don't think really speaks to a lot of love being shown in these negotiations. That's all. And there wasn't any in the arbitration hearing either. And they've really taken this guy to the cleaners. And at some point, I think you have to look at it if you're Jeremy Swayman and say, what do these people want from me? Like, do they want to commit to me or not? Are they going to offer me embarrassing $6 million? Of course, I'm not going to take that. And they won't come up to the number that I want. And this is all very, very petty and not something that I want to be a part of going forward. I'm shocked that he hasn't outright demanded a trade yet. Maybe he has. And I don't blame him. If he has.
Yeah, I look at it the total different way. He hasn't come down. He hasn't taken the trade as a sign of investment in him by the team, giving away their leverage. I think it's all about the lens that you look at it through. Like, I think you can make a strong argument of that. They invested in Jeremy Swayman the day they traded Omark. Hell, they tried to invest in him last year, and Omark blocked it.
Right.
Right? Like,
it was an investment in the sense that they were trying to establish that and say that. And when you do that, then you have to treat him like he's the guy. You don't just do it and say, well, now you're the guy. That's like saying, okay, Andy, we got rid of Arcan. We're not going to pay you anymore, but now you have to do all the work that he was doing.
No.
Isn't that what a great thing for you? Like, you know, like that's not, you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't matter.
But the difference is they are offering to pay him more, just not at the top of the market, right? That's
not even the top of the market. Top of the market's $10 million.
That's what he's asking for. I believe Rich Keefe. But
they just got up to $8 million. And if he's asking for $8.5 million, that's not top of the market. That's what Sorokin got, and he's not top of the market. And Swayman had a better year than Sorokin.
So what do you believe the Bruins' first offer was?
I believe that it was $6.25 million.
Okay, so they've come up
whatever the reporting.
So they've come up basically $1.75 million
mm-hmm.
to $8 million.
Sure,
correct.
And
he started at 10.
He started at 10 and has come down to 8.5.
Well, yeah, so he came down 1.5. We came up more than you came down. Let's meet in the middle.
Yeah, well, where they started was more ridiculous than where he started, I think.
You think.
I do think that,
I bet you they think differently.
Yeah, anyway, 617-779.
That was good. We almost made it to the bitching hour without having our little bitch off.
It was pretty close. A lot of people have things to say about this on the text line as well as in the Twitch chat. We will get to all of that, and we'll reset on the Patriots right after this.